Dr. Bassicus, tell us the, you know, give us the short version of the story of Temple Frida. As I understand it, actually dates back more than 100 years.
The congregation was started in the 1800s, and this actually was the center of Jewish life for probably a 60 or 70 mile radius. There was one or two Jews in each town, Caldwell, Hearn, Navasota, and they met in Bryan for religious services. The building was actually constructed in 1912, and it's just a beautiful old building, something like the Carnegie Library, that deserves to stay alive.
And how long was it actively used as a temple?
The congregation, which was became known as Temple Frida after the wife of the president who died during construction, according to the legend, was used from 1912 until the 50s, when the congregation Beth Shalom formed at the new Hillel building on the next to the campus. The congregation continued to meet at Temple Frida, although I can't tell you how active it was until the mid-70s.
And then it was, as I understand it, it was then rented out to other churches, to Christian churches?
It was rented out until the mid-70s, when a number of students discovered its existence, and the congregation was reconstituted, although it had never formally been unconstituted, and we began having weekly Saturday Jewish services at Temple Frida, and that lasted 10 or 15 years starting in the 70s.
And then since then, it's just it's kind of sat vacant, is that right?
Well, the caretaker was Julian Lauterstein, and when he passed away, he left it to me to become the caretaker. When we quit having services, I continued his tradition of renting it out to fledgling Christian congregations for much less than it cost just to insure the building.
So you technically became the owner of Temple Frida by virtue of taking care of it, right?
That's what they tell me.
So after sitting and kind of deteriorating for all these years and with you making repairs to the roof and the floor and so forth, what's the recent development? As I understand it, it's basically been turned over to the city.
To me, it's somewhat of a miracle. I had, from my own pocket, paid for a new roof, fixing the foundation, reconstructing the back wall, and just about given up the building because a tenant had failed to pay the utilities, no longer was grandfathered, and the building did not meet code, so we could not get water and electricity. Along came a group, Stephanie Seals and Lindsay Gindy, Randy Haynes, and they were interested in forming some Temple Frida Preservation Society to save the building. Miracles occur.
And that's just happened in the last few months, right?
Formally, deeded the building back over to the city of Bryan. I think it will remain under their care until reconstruction really begins, and then at some point it will be given to a society whose job will be to maintain the building.
And it'll become some sort of a community center, cultural center, is that right?
That is the hope.
That's great. So after kind of wrestling with this thing all these years, how do you feel about seeing something positive finally happen with it?
Well, it disturbed me. I'm now closer to 100 than I am to 50, and I don't plan on being around too much longer. I hope another 20 years, but I didn't know who was going to be in charge of the building when I left. And now I know that there will be an organization and the building should survive.
That's great. That's great. Just for some background, now you say you're originally from Cleveland?
Yes.
And how did you, and you just came down here to take a job and didn't intend to stay long?
I left Cleveland and went to Israel for a postdoc. After that, I was teaching at MIT They threw me out kicking and screaming, and I came to the cyclotron at Texas A&M to be head of nuclear theory. I really only thought to stay a couple of years. That was 1970.
So here it is many years later, and you're still here.
Yes.
Do you have plans to retire?
I'm enjoying teaching so much that I don't think I'm going to retire.
That's great. So what do you know about the you sound like you're pretty knowledgeable about the Jewish history of this area. Was there a folks of the Jewish identity would you say were in Bryan in 1912?
Off the top of my head, I would say there are probably 15 to 20 families
mm-hmm.
in the area. Not necessarily in Bryan, but as I said, in Caldwell, Hearn, Navasota.
Mm-hmm. And were they mostly of Eastern European extraction?
Absolutely.
Polish and Russian?
Polish, Russian, Transylvania.
And did they come through Galveston for the most part?
I think they came through Galveston. And some were peddlers and then settled down in a town.
Mm-hmm.
For example, in Caldwell now, there's Manny's on the Square. And that was Manny Feigenbaum.
Really? I guess Manny himself is no longer around.
Manny is no longer on. His son is a professor of construction science at A&M. His wife is still alive. I don't think Manny's on the Square still exists, but extremely nice people.
Yeah, that's interesting. So basically, as you say, Bryan really at that time was kind of the center of Jewish activity in this area. I guess it was the biggest town.
I guess so.
And now there's, what, two or three Jewish congregations in Bryan?
Well, we
have Bryan College Station.
We still have Temple Frieda. Temple Frieda still exists. There still are a few dues-paying members. The Chabad, which is an Orthodox organization, very active. And, of course, Congregation Beth Shalom, which started in, I guess, 1955.
So there are actually folks who still are members of Temple Frieda. Do you think services will ever be held there again, or is that part of the plan?
I think when the building is put back into a safe condition, we will love to have at least one or two services there just to rededicate the building.
And the stained glass windows now are being redone by Foster, is that right?
Foster Glass. Absolutely.
And some people are stepping up to help pay for that, which is not cheap.
It's not cheap, and we do hope to contact the families of the people whose names are on those stained glass windows. I know if my family's name were on one of those windows, I would gladly put up the money to make sure the window was reconstructed and preserved.
Yeah. Okay, well, great. Thank you very much. I think this will be something that a lot of listeners will want to know about. I know I was really intrigued when I just kind of stumbled on the building myself a few years ago. I was just out taking a walk, and there it was, right by the railroad track.
I can tell you when the train would come through on a Saturday morning during our Torah service, you felt the presence of God in that building.
God in Union Pacific, right?